Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a marvelous multitasking Monday here on Power Hour. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us. Hey, hope everybody is well and that their weekend was relaxing and refreshing and you're ready to take on this week. Something going on in your politics, and you thought about maybe you might want to take it on, run for office. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that the next half hour with someone who took on that challenge relatively recently. So, but in the meantime, it is the third Thursday of the month on G's Power Hour, and we welcome back Chef Z to talk about all these wonderful holidays and celebrations that are coming up over the next month. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. Always a pleasure when you are on, always learning something, so... So we got Memorial Day weekend coming up. We got Juneteenth coming up. We got Father's Day coming up, and probably some other stuff that I've missed. So, how do we get ready for all of that?
Oh my gosh! I know it's like it's party season, and I'm happy because I am fully vaccinated. So I am so happy. My household is all who can be vaccinated, so I'm thrilled. And we're starting to surround ourselves with friends who are the same. So I look forward to, you know, at least some type of celebration. Still, I'm not going to go, you know, crazy. You know, so wanting to be outdoors and, you know, have plenty of space, you know, I think I will never party the way I used to before ever again. But, well, at least in the near future, you know. But, you know, so now it's, you know, so one of those things for keeping the events outside is, of course, we're going to hit the grill. It's Florida, you know. I think Florida is always grilling season. And until it gets to be June or July, it gets to be too hot. But you still can go outside and take the grill or the flat top outside. And as a matter of fact, we did hamburgers last night and on our flat top. So, you know, now is the time to get outside, have your friends outside, and think about things that are grill friendly. And it's not always meat. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do that are not even, you know, they don't have to be vegan, but they can be vegetarian for the grill, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, don't get me wrong. You know me. I love a good, you know, a good barbecue piece of chicken or, you know, hot dogs. There's this picture floating around the internet with these hot dogs that are just like nice and charred, and you can see the barbecue sauce all over them, and it says, the caption says, if your hot dogs don't look like this, don't invite me to the cookout.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I'm with them. Don't, you know, if your hot dogs don't look like this, I don't want any of them. You know, I want a good hot dog. But at the same time, I would not forego a barbecue of friends that wanted to eat primarily vegetables, that is fine because there's a lot of things that you can do on the grill that are really good that are vegetables. I just wanted to share a couple recipes that actually go on the grill. One of them, I just kind of happened by this, but it's a beer can beer cabbage. It's a purple cabbage that they have treated like a chicken. And if you've ever, are you familiar with the beer can chicken?
No, not at all.
Well, you take a whole chicken. What you do is you take a whole chicken and you leave it, you know, you leave it whole and you get your favorite beer, your Pabst IPA or whatever, in a can. And you put the can inside of the chicken and put it in the middle of the grill and basically grill that chicken and let the beer, the flavors and the juices and everything, the beer, the steam from the beer, cooks the chicken from the inside out. So if, you know, if you're a fan of beer, then you're definitely, you know, going to love it, especially if you get your favorite beer. And it makes a nice, tender, juicy chicken. Beer with poultry always is a good idea. It's just a nice, tasty, robust bird. But you can turn around and do this with a purple cabbage. So all of the, you know, you take a purple cabbage, a decent-sized purple cabbage, and you do the same concept. You get your beer, and you put that beer can, you know, of course you open it, but you put that can inside of the purple cabbage, and you basically roast that cabbage on the grill with the beer can inside, and you let that cook down, and you basically treat it like a chicken. So you're going to baste it and all that kind of stuff, and baste it with your barbecue sauce. And then when it's about, let's say about less than 10 minutes towards that cabbage being all tender, and you can tell the cabbage really starts to, it's the water, you can see that the water has started to cook out of it, and you can see it's more iridescent, so you can tell this cabbage is done. And you can always stick a fork in it. And so then once your cabbage is tender and nearly almost done, you're going to put some, like, big old yellow or Vidalia onions on the grill. You can also use some other kind of cabbage if you want and just grill those around the onion, around the cabbage. And then when you're done, you're going to actually take the cabbage. When the onions are all grilled, you're going to take the cabbage, and you're going to treat it like pulled pork. So you're going to chop it up or chop beef. You're going to chop the cabbage up. And then if you want, you can add sauce to it and stir it together, or you can drizzle sauce on top and then add those grilled onions and put it on a bun and treat it like chopped or pulled pork. And it's really tasty, nice and hearty, and it's vegetarian. It's actually vegan. So it's a really good, nice recipe for someone who wants to do something different on the grill. Or we always have that one friend that can't eat meat. I know I host a lot of parties for private clients, and they'll say, oh, I have a friend or two that's coming and they're vegetarian or they don't eat meat. Do you have any options for them? So this is a good option to have. Or if you have kids that just don't like to eat a lot of meat. My granddaughter, she's not a big meat eater, but she loves vegetables. And anything between a hamburger bun that's not a hamburger, she calls a hamburger. But she enjoys stuff like that. So it's really good. I think it's awesome. Whoever came up with it was a genius. And so I really like it, and I've tried it with, with a nice, like, pineapple IPA that I found a few weeks ago. And so I think this will be really tasty and kind of give it that tropical you know, flair to it and stuff. So I'll let you know how it worked out for me. But when I saw this recipe, I thought, what a genius idea. And especially with the grilled onions, it just really tops it off. So another recipe.
I have a question, though.
Okay.
So I'm wondering for, I guess, a person that doesn't grill that often, I guess not, this is a crazy question maybe, but so you're mm-hmm. talking about putting this stuff on the grill. Is this directly on a grill or is this on a grill pan of some sort?
It's on the grill. You would put it like on your barbecue grill. But you can actually do this in the oven too as well. Now, in the oven, this is really cool. You can actually take your chicken and put it in like a bundt pan. So you know that center tube in your bundt pan? You can use that tube inside your bundt pan and actually put a pan underneath that. So you have to put your bundt pan in a baking pan that's big enough to surround your bundt pan, right? And you can fill that baking pan up with your beer and pour beer inside of your bundt pan. So you don't have to do it on the grill, but these are just recipes that are great on the grill. But no, the beer can chicken, I've seen it done in the oven plenty of times. Of course, you're going to have to take your top rack out because your chicken needs to sit upright. But it's just as tasty either way.
Because I guess one of the things I was concerned about, especially when you were talking about the cabbage, was it maybe getting a little bit too burnt or charred or something.
Because you've got those juices and all that steam and stuff coming up from that beer that is going to totally cover that, you know, it's going to, and it's, of course, if you can, you definitely want to close the lid on your grill. If you don't have a grill that has a lid, then you'll just use a foil tent over it. Because the whole part is to keep those juices recirculating within that chicken.
Okay. All right. Hey,
you got
it? Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. Okay. So the next thing, and I know people get tired of the word cauliflower, but cauliflower to me is the superfood of the century. It is the superfood of the century because we have been doing magical things with cauliflower for years. I can remember when the Atkins diet was just beginning to be really popular. This, you know, what is that, like 15 years ago or more? And I'll never forget, that was my first instance of hearing about mashed cauliflower instead of mashed potatoes. So, you know, cauliflower is champ, you know, of superfoods. I don't care what anyone says. It's the champ because you, not only is it good for you, it is full of, you know, it has a lot of water in it, so, you know, that's good. But you can make it taste like anything. I love it. So even putting a whole head of cauliflower on the grill, and again, just letting those letting the steam and grilling it up inside of your grill, basting it. If you want to baste it with barbecue sauce or like a teriyaki sauce, anything like that is really good. And then quartering it or, you know, cutting it down into eighths so people can, you know, take it and dip it in a sauce or any something like that. It has that give and take that meat, you know, that people who want to eat meat have. So it's, you know, like I said, you can make it taste like anything. If you want to put it in a bun, you know, you can, but you don't have to. And you can still feel like, you know, you included that vegetarian or vegan friend, or you guys just have another healthy side dish, you know, or main dish for your barbecue because it's really good. And it's something just about roasting it over the grill that just really brings out another flavor. And doing that too with mushrooms, portobello mushroom caps, getting the large caps, those make the best burgers, mushroom burgers. And basically, you know, treating it like a hamburger, giving it a good rub of seasoning, you know, grill it until it's nice and, you know, it's going to be meaty. So when you push down on it, it's going to, you know, give you a nice spring back and stuff like that. And that's how you know that you did what you were supposed to do with cooking it, and then basting it with your favorite barbecue sauce. And then I like my mushroom burger with a spicy cabbage slaw, like a vinegar slaw. And I think that really sets it off. It gives it a nice crunch. And I think if your mouth is busy playing with other textures, that you don't realize that you're missing the meat. Do you get what I'm saying? I think if you're busy with the other things,
yeah,
then, yeah, you know, it's a nice give and take. And that slaw is just, like, perfect. The slaw is perfect. And it doesn't take long. It's something that you can put the portobello mushrooms on the grill. And literally, once you put those on the grill, you can start making the slaw. And so by the time the mushrooms are done, you can use the slaw because you don't need it to be all soggy. You want it crunchy and you just want some of the flavor there. So it's like a perfect combination with doing it with the mushrooms. Also, if you are someone who likes cheese, then you can still add cheese to your mushroom burger, or something that I like that I found by accident, you know, not by accident, but I was just like, oh, I'll give it a try, is you can also use the cheese. You can use the, oh, gosh, I lost my words. you can use the different kind of cheese. Pimento. Oh, my gosh, how could I forget
okay.
that? So at the grocery store, they have the little pimento stuffed mushrooms. And I was just looking, you know, I was just grabbing something. I wanted something extra for a side dish. And so I was like, you know what? I'll just grab these little things. We like mushrooms. We like pimentos. And, oh, my gosh, they were so good. So the next time I did mushrooms for us, I actually on purpose took the very large caps and filled those just the center because you don't want too much cheese. Just a little, you know, I put a couple of tablespoons in the center of the big cap so the cheese would just melt out. And, oh, my gosh, gee, it was just so good. So those on the grill, putting that pimento cheese in there, there's just so many things you can do. And you don't miss, you know, not having the meat. Or, like I said, you're going to include that friend that's thinking about, you know, things like that. And then I don't know why I haven't been eating this earlier in my life, but Mexican street corn on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. It is so
wow.
good. Have you ever had it?
I think I may have had it once. It's been a while.
It's been a while. You know, we're lucky because, you know, where we live here in Central Florida, we've got access to the Zellwood sweet corn, which is, I think, is getting ready to cycle out of season, but we still can find corn around. Get some of that corn. It is so good. But putting that corn on the grill and getting that nice fire roasted taste and putting that Tazo seasoning on and some queso blanco cheese, it is so good. And again, it's just something different and unique. A lot of times when we're doing these barbecues for the holidays, you know, there's always baked beans, macaroni and cheese, you know, and potato salad. It's kind of like the norm. And you get bored with those things. So taking what nature has to offer and just going outside of the box with side dishes, will just bring up any event. It will just bring it up to the next level. So that street corn and leaving the, you can actually leave the, you don't have to shuck it. You can leave it whole and then just roast it in its, you know, in the husk, and then peel it back after it's done. It's easier to peel. And actually, you know, leaving the husk on so it can be like a little candle, and sprinkling the seasoning and the cheese over it. The kids are going to love it. Again, like I said, it's something different. It's going to be a different thing. And, you know, if you get full off of all that other stuff, you don't miss too much. You don't miss too much of the other stuff. You know what I mean? And then
I do have a question about seafood on the grill, and especially I was passing. I looked at some tuna steaks the other day, and I was tempted to try them. And my husband's like, "No, because you're going to want yours." You know, I'm one of these people. Is like, I want to make sure it's dead type of person. And my husband's kind of like the other way. But do you have any tips for grilling seafood?
Yes. So, I mean, first of all, if you want your tuna all the way done, poor thing, but that's your right. You can have your tuna all the way done. And just separate you and your husband's tuna. You know, hey, here's your piece. Here's my piece. I'm going to do it. You know, you got your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
My recommendation for you is that if you are going to do, you know, if you're going to do yours done, he wants his, you know, like medium to rare, which is best, then you need to make sure, number one, that your grill is hot, because seafood does not take long to cook, and you don't want it to be like rubber.
Right.
So you want to make sure you have a really hot grill. So you may need to turn it on and leave it for 10 or 15 minutes before you cook it. You definitely want to make sure that, you know, your grill is going to be up there 400 plus degrees before you stick anything on there. If you're going to make it more done, then what you can do, especially with tuna, is get a good char on yours and then transfer it to some foil or something like that, and then you can, you know, wrap it in the foil and let it continue to cook until it's to your satisfaction. So that, you know, you may want to do that. Also, you want to make sure that once it's hot, then you want to add a nice oil to it, a good oil. Cheaper vegetable oils and stuff like that, they will work, but they tend to get viscous and sticky and become part of your grill. So if you do that, make sure that you clean your grill off right away. Don't be afraid to use some of those cooking mats. They have these new cooking mats. They protect your food, so that makes it, you know, the surface nonstick, but it also delivers those grill marks that you want at the same time. Look at technology. And they look very intimidating because you think you're going to, it looks like you're unrolling a piece of plastic. And I must say that I even have one in my oven, and I kept saying to myself, oh, no, I'm going to burn up my house because I'm putting plastic in my oven. But that never happened, and so I love it. Yeah, they're really nice. They're just they're rolled up, and I don't think there's any particular brand. I think I even bought mine at Aldi, and it just says oven liner, and it does look like a piece of plastic, but I think it's made out of some other kind of material, and it doesn't burn, and it really does a good job. But they also have grilling mats that are made of the same material that will help you get those char marks without actually burning your food and your food sticking to the grill, which is real important when you do seafood. Also, if you're going to grill like a piece of salmon or any other type of fish, that comes with the option of skin on. take the skin on, because that is going to protect your fish and, again, your little grill. Plus, that skin is going to deliver some of those omega-3s, that fat in that skin, and it's going
right.
to get down into your, yeah, so it's going to be really good. So try to always grill fish with the skin on, and especially salmon if possible. Things like tilapia and cod, flaky whitefish, you need to go ahead and put those in either, you know, some type of nonstick foil or, again, on top of a mat. You don't want to put those directly on the grill. There's no benefit whatsoever. Number one, they usually have a lot of water in them, so that's going to drip all over your coals, which is not good. And it's also going to, the fish is going to just flake up and fall apart. So you definitely want to make sure that you have a game plan for cooking your fish. And you're not going to miss out on the flavor. There, you know, if you're using coal, and especially using like a smoky wood like cherry or apple wood chips
uh-huh.
in your coal, you're not going to miss that flavor. You're definitely going to get it. Even the planks, using the cooking planks as well. So you can put your fish on top of the planks, and those are going to deliver some unique flavor too. With the planks, I just recommend that you make sure that they are nice and wet. So I usually will soak my planks 1 to 2 hours before. I want to make sure they're really, really loaded so they don't crack up and break up and possibly catch on fire inside of your grill. And it doesn't matter if you use gas or coals, either one. You just want to make sure that your grill, I mean your planks and your bamboo skewers are hydrated. You don't ever want to use dry sticks or wood. They might catch on fire, plus your food is going to stick to them, so you just don't want that to happen. Don't be afraid to play around with vegetables with those as well, and sauces. If you're going to use a barbecue sauce or a marinating sauce that tends to be on the sweet side, just make sure that there is that you do that towards the end of your cooking, because you know that sugar is going to burn and caramelize and the food may not be ready, and so you run the risk of burning it and ruining the taste. And I think my final tip I can give you is shrimp only take a minute to cook, period. You know, I've seen people, they put, you know, skewers down and they'll have like chicken, shrimp, a piece of beef, and, you know, some veggies. And I'm like, that is very pretty, but it is a disaster on the stick, because the beef and the shrimp are the things that need the least amount of time. Chicken needs the most, and your vegetables. And so everything needs different cooking times. So you want to make sure shellfish, shrimp, your clams, those cook so fast. So you want to make sure that you cook them by themselves so you can enjoy the best flavor. And if you want to put them on a skewer, you know, then do them with just really light vegetables that can cook up really fast.
So I was
going to
say, if you wanted to lay them all out, I mean, you wanted them all, let's say, to come off around the same time, which would you put on first? Maybe beef, and then lay your chicken down, and then your seafood, or what, in what order?
Yeah, beef or the chicken, it just depends on how you like your beef cooked. So, yes, if you want your beef on the more well side, like you said, you want to make sure yours have died and went to cow heaven. So, yes,
I just
you put the beef
don't
down
want
first.
That extra liquid Okay.
Well, you can cook it medium well. You don't have to do well. Well means the you have cooked the juices. There is nothing left but meat. There is
no
life.
No, I don't necessarily
life.
Mean that. It's just that I don't, you know, want it like right after it's been butchered, you know.
Oh, well, yeah, I get it. But, you know, the most beef is enjoyed medium to medium well, but not, you know, not totally well. And a
right.
lot of people miss that, you know, because you're cooking out all the juices and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, put your beef down because it is going to take the longest, and of course your chicken and then so forth. But you want to make sure, too, that if you're going to use skewers, that everything is cut proportionately to how it's going to be, how it's going to cook out. You know, if you have carrots, you know, they're hard. They're going to take forever to cook. You know, so if you're going to put them on the skewer, then you want to make sure that they're cut really thin and small, you know, so they cook really quick, you know, with the rest of your food. Also, with your cuts of beef, you don't want a really, really thin piece of beef and a really thick piece of chicken, you know. So you just really want to make sure that you're catching all that kind of stuff and hydrate those skewers.
Oh, and do you just with water or do you do salt water with the skewers?
I just use regular water.
Just regular water, okay. Chef
yeah.
Z, you are amazing. Thank you so much. And so, you know, get out there and you know, if first you don't succeed, try again. You got all summer to do that.
Yes.
So, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Talk to you again soon. Take care.
Okay.
Thanks to Chef C. And when we come back, we are going to talk about if you are maybe thinking about running for office, hear from one person who did it, and they have some firsthand tips for you. The number is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
A wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And again, thanks to Chef G for getting us kicked off as we are looking down the road to our holidays and special occasions coming up. The number is 516-387-1944. If you kind of got a little bit annoyed with some of the politics and you think, you know, I might want to take this on myself and see if I can make a difference. See if I can make things better. Well, my friend did that. Her name is Stephanie Dukes, and she's with us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Stephanie. How are you?
Hello.
Oh, there you are. Hey.
Hi. Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
We are doing wonderful over here in Lake County, enjoying getting ready for the holiday season. Bright sun, beaches, and lots of hills to run up and down and get those calves ready.
and good food, too, like Jesse was helping us get some of that ready.
Yes, I loved it. I loved her tips about the seafood, so thank you for asking her about. We are great seafood lovers over here.
Yes, we are. So, ma'am. We want to really get people to really think about running for office, because we just think, oh, I don't have the skills, I don't have the knowledge, I can't do this, I can't do that. But what do you say? You ran last year for state representative in your area. And so it was your first time, right?
That's correct. Uh-huh.
And so what made you, first of all, what made you want to take on that challenge?
Well, I've been involved in politics or the advocate's role in participating in the election process since high school, actually. And the decision to finally step out front and from behind the scenes kind of work actually had a lot to do with a statue coming to Lake County. It was a Confederate statue of a general by the name of Kirby Smith, and there was a lot of talk going on about it. And everyone was talking about it, but very few people in the circle that I was associating in was doing anything about it. Everyone wanted to talk about it. And the power to make that decision came from those who were elected. So there was a group of that was organizing a protest. There was a group that was doing letter writing, all of the other parts of the political process that comes together. But we know the real power comes from the people who are sitting in the seat. So that was what made me step up and step out, was to be able to bring all of the things that we had going on behind the scenes, to put it to the forefront, to be one of the people to be seated at the table.
Okay. So tell me, what was your first step? I know one thing about you is that you do a lot of research. So was that involved primarily before you got involved, and like you said, you've been involved with the process from behind the scenes. So I guess you observed some people and the challenges they faced as they were preparing to run. What was the first thing that you did, or some of the first things that you did?
The research. Anyone who is thinking about running for office, or if you have a passion, you may not have even thought about it, because I actually never really thought about running for office. It was just one of those things that occurred in looking for the solution, like you say, very analytical. But the first thing I would say for someone, if you have, if pondering that thought, is to volunteer for a campaign. Begin to, one, find out, why am I passionate? What am I passionate about? What is it that is inspiring me to even think these thoughts? And look at a campaign. Look at someone. If there's not an active campaign, maybe this thought may come to you. Maybe not in campaign season, which is really every season is campaign season. But maybe it's not at the height of the campaign season. Look around for a particular candidate, current person who is an elected official, and work for their campaign. That, I think, is the first step, because you need to know what goes on behind the scenes. And let's say maybe there is no one in your district, because we do have some underserved districts. So maybe there is no one in your district that you can look out to. Then the next thing I would say that you would need to do is begin to talk to others. The greatest part of my inspiration came from talking and listening to others. seeing what did they thought? Was I the only one thinking these things about what was happening in the community in our county? Listen to others, because the others is who get you elected to sit and represent them at that seat at the table. So you must talk to a lot of people, see where they are, see where they are not, see where the temperature is in the community that you would want to serve. And when we talk about serving, one of the things I had to look at, did I want to serve? It was my first time, as you mentioned. And most people who first start out, they say, well, start out small, which meant to start on the city level. We have city positions, you have state positions, county positions, and, of course, our national positions. Well, in looking at those positions, to where did my skill set best fit in? And what did I qualify for? Because there are qualifications to each of these positions. So that was the next step that we had to do strategically. This is when you get into the strategic part of it. Deal with your passion first. Deal with your passion first. What am I concerned about? What lights my fire? Because these are not paid positions of great magnitude. These are not what most people say, oh, I can make a career per se out of this, because when you look at the salary on your city, your county, your state, these are mostly part-time positions. So they don't bring in a money that if you have a family that you can support your family on. That's why most of the time we see people with great means, financial means in these positions, because they can afford it to work part-time in these positions. So we have to make sure you have a passion for it. Then strategically, start looking at the strategic things, such as, do I qualify? What is the salary? Because that is something that if you have a partner, a spouse, you are going to need to have that financial conversation about it. You have to have a passion for time. I remember the first politician I talked to, they said, are you willing to do this full time? I said, well, it's a part-time position. They said, it's a part-time position that requires your full-time attention. So
that tells you a lot right there. I mean, because you think that these are full-time positions, and actually, you're right. That person was right. It needs your full-time attention. This is not mm-hmm. something that you can just kind of you turn off the lights at a certain time and you're gone, because it's a service position, you know, first and foremost. You're mm-hmm. serving people, and you have people from all walks of life with all different types of agendas and different, you know, circumstances they're dealing with. And they're not in a box. People are not mm-hmm. in a box. So you have to be willing, ready, and able to deal with a multitude of different types of people, different types of schedules, different types of needs, and all of that type of stuff.
And I think those are what you just said there are excellent skill sets to see if you have. Do you have the ability and the patience? And can you listen to people from different walks of life with different problems at different levels and not be judgmental about how someone got to where they are, that they are now have a problem or have a situation that they are bringing to you? You cannot be judgmental. You always have to look at it that I am a servant of the people, for the people, by the people, and stay humble to that. And you have to look and see, do you have that mindset? Do you have those skill sets? And that is very, very important in the position of public service. And that's why they call it public service. You are providing a service to the public, and it's not just one segment of your community that we must learn to serve. We must learn to serve all of the people. And that is so, so critical. And I think that's probably why I enjoy it, Gretchen, because I do enjoy doing for people. And I think that you have to be able to make that person-to-person connection, that things happen in life. And the thing about what this mission is about allowing everyone to be able to live life at its fullest. And therefore, we need that opportunity. I guess, and I think that's how I kind of became involved in liking the public service realm, was because of that. I believed in the Constitution and the preamble when it says we the people, that we could live in a land that with a level playing field, we all could enjoy life. And that's all we wake up every morning for. We wake up and go to work to enjoy life, to do something beneficial that gives us meaning to our life. And that must be your passion in public life, to give meaning to life.
And the one thing I think that is important to note is that it's about serving the people and not pleasing the people, because a lot of, you know, you have a whole, you would just really probably lose your mind trying to please everybody. But you do have to serve everybody. And sometimes that calls for making, like, unpopular decisions and getting some sort of backlash. But you got to, you know, make sure that you're doing the right thing. And so when you're making that decision to run, you have to, you know, say, am I going to be okay with people not necessarily being happy with me a lot of the time, you know, but recognizing that I'm, you know, doing what's in their best interest.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. And I think that is why we must stay humble, because when you stay humble to that, then you can do that. And that's the part of the strategic part of planning. And when you go into, once you decide that, okay, you know what, this is who I am. I'm not a selfish person. I want to give back to the community. Then the next thing you have to look at from moving from is who around you can support your vision. Mm-hmm. That is so cool. I was fortunate enough to have you. Thank you for being my friend. And not only my friend, but a visionary. You know, your program like you have today where you're able, you provide a public service that there's information, a wealth of information that you want to get out there to the community to better the community, to better each individual, to help us, like with Chef this morning. I learned some things that will help me grill out that I do. So you provide a public service, so you were able to help me with my vision to be able to take us to 44% of the vote for the general election because of you believed in the vision. Not only were you my friend, but you believed in the vision, and that vision was to provide a better community. So that would be the next thing, that you have to get that core, that nucleus core of people who believe in the vision. Okay, what you're passionate about, your passion. And then from there, you take that, and then once you have decided, okay, where do my skill set, do I qualify, where do I qualify, then you begin to build your team. You build out your team. Who can support you and be with you through the ups and the downs. Like you said, this is not a paid position. And when we speak of paying, the most important people you want to seek out is those who can help you not with once your vision, protect your dream, and then how do we now finance this business? Because running a campaign is a business. And no ifs, ands, and buts about it. So you have to sit down and do a business plan. You have to plan out where you're going to get the money to pay for the signs that you see all around town. You have to pay for the radio spots. You have to pay for the TV spots. How do we fund this program, this business of public service? All of our organizations who provide nonprofits, who provide a service, have to then figure out, okay, how do we now, do that? How do we do that? So you put that team together next to support your dream. It's just the investors. Who's willing to now invest in your dream, which is community public service? And then from there, you put together those volunteers.
Mm-hmm. But the one thing I'm having to stress, I'm having to stress this with you, and you know this, because this requires so much of a person, and kind of going out of their comfort zone maybe a little bit, and a lot of energy. It's important to budget time for yourself in this whole process, because you will get lost if you're not careful. And so you've got to make sure that your health is 100% or as close to it as possible. Things that maybe you've been putting off in terms of your health that you now really need to say, hey, I wasn't eating the way I should have. I wasn't resting the way I should have. I wasn't, hydrating the way I should have. All of those types of things. Because so you have to kind of develop that habit ahead of time, because when you're in the throes of the campaign, if that's not a regular part of your habit, it's going to get lost.
I think it's that way in business total, in life total, is that because, and like I said, this is a business. It's just like getting up, going to work every day. We work in stressful situations, so we must learn to take planned time for our family, as well as we're out there doing the public service work, campaigning. But then you must plan some time for yourself to have some self time, some spiritual time, some inspirational time, your exercise time. Healthy living, lifestyle cannot suffer no matter what we do in life. Every day, and that's when from growing up, we have to teach our kids that when we came up, Gretchen, we had home economics, PE. Those were electives. Well, PE was mandatory back during our time. Every day you had to have PE because it's one of the most important things in life. Exercise,
yeah.
Body.
And I hated it, but I recognize now, I count my blessings for it now, because they talk about how we are dealing with childhood obesity right now, and kids having to get EKGs now in order to play sports because their health issues, underlying health issues now. It's something I hate that they compromised that in the school system, and I really that's one of the things that shouldn't be on a back burner in our school system. That's
exactly,
because
it's the proper ways of exercising, the different exercising, running, as well as learning different sports, which as adults now we know that it is for business, for a lot of business things. Playing tennis is not only good for our body, but it builds networking relationships. We know that golf, oh, Lord, I was like, why do I have to walk golf course? We know now that that is a business. Those are business meetings that are also occurring while we are walking for exercise. It's exercising our minds. We're putting into play the math, the science, where the wind is coming. It pulls together so many things that as a student in school during that time, we did not understand. If we were lucky enough to have a golf course near where, at your school, all of our schools didn't have it. But if you were lucky enough, we didn't have golf as a sport at our school, but my my dad played golf. So, you know, it was a different thing. And there was a group that, you know, we were exposed to it. So we did it a little differently. But those are the things that we learned, basketball. The President of the United States, former President Barack Obama, what do you talk about? What was the thing he used, you know, as a stress release? That we learned that he
basketball.
Went outside to play basketball. Whatever mm-hmm. your talent is, your stress releaser. So that is, yes, you are so right in that strategic planning. You need to make sure that once you then put your strategic plan into action, that action plan, the person who is running your calendar knows that, no, my family time is every Monday night, 6 o'clock. You make that, and those are your most valuable contributors, your family. So you have to make sure you nurture that group. So on Monday night, from 7 to 9, that's family time. Carve that out, as well as the morning time. If you are a morning exercise person, your morning time. If you are an evening person, your evening time for exercise. So that is critical. And, of course, home economics was great because it taught us how to eat balanced meals, how to pick our vegetables, how to make sure that when you can do fresh versus canned, do fresh. There are sometimes canned is only available. One of the things we were talking about the other day, my grandmother, bless her soul, will be 103 years old this October, God's will. And she would can. We actually would go out into and buy and pick by the what do we call it then? It was the barrel bushel. By the bushel, peas, greens, bring those things home, either peel them or blanch them. For some of the greens, you just blanch green peas. You just blanched and put them away for the winter time when it was out of season so we could still go to the freezer. We had this big, deep freezer. So you would go pull those things. And we actually used to buy our meat from the butcher who butchered the meat from the farmer who raised the cattle on his own land. So you knew what it was getting. And the couple of families would go in and there would be times they would kill the cow and kill the hogs and actually clean those. And then you take it to the butcher, have the butcher cut it up. So we have to learn to eat healthy, very healthy. I was so puzzled but amazed by a conversation I had the privilege to hearing. And the comment was, well, you know, we're not going to invest a lot of money in that community because you know that community, due to the food they eat, they and the medicine they take, cancer is high. So what did they just say? What did I just hear? I just heard that the food they eat contributes to the cancer rate. I just heard the medicine they take contribute to the cancer rate. And the light bulb went on and said, what's in those communities? What type of foods are they eating? Those communities do not have the pleasure of what the chef was just saying. They don't have the pleasure of having the best meats that have been fed, the cattle, the chicken, the cows, that they're eating, the most of the fish, because we do have some farm-fed fish that are raised, as well as areas where they are harvested from polluted lands, waterways, that these areas aren't getting the premium food. the premium tier.
So, Stephanie, we're going to have a part two of this conversation. So we're going to schedule you back because, we talk about a variety of different things, not just running, but other issues that are relevant in the community and the communities we serve. So thanks for taking the time. But we're going to have another segment of this conversation soon, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
And have a wonderful
week. Thank you, Steph. Have a blessed day. And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. Be well, be safe, be blessed. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
The word out. It's the word.